And he is really familiar with God in a way that has a proper perspective on God. He is knowing God as the living God. It's not that abstract somewhere where he is out there that really, like he mocked the prophets of Baal, maybe he's on a journey or he's busy with something. There was a conscious knowledge of who God is, and that God is a living God. He is one who is all-seeing and all-knowing, watching everything and knowing everything. And Elijah lived with that conscience. He was also familiar with the Word of God. So number one, he knew what God is. He is a living God, that he's not an abstract that really doesn't care about his people. No, he lived in that light. Number two, he was, as we have heard, a man who was able to commune with God, a man of prayer. But also he was familiar with the Word of God. Because for him to pray that there will be no rain, to pray that God withheld his blessing from his people, this is beyond just a man of prayer. To pronounce such a thing that they don't deserve thy blessing. Who of us could pray such a prayer? God held your blessing from thy people. But there is a man who knew that the word of God would say so in the book of Deuteronomy. I think it's chapter 28. If they depart from the way of the Lord, he said that God in his judgment will withheld rain, and their heaven will be like brass, and there will be no rain on the earth. So he is familiar with the mind of God. Not just the idea of, well, it's grace and everything goes. Not at all. But if they depart, he is familiar with the government of God and what God will bring upon his people when they are departing from him. So he is familiar also with the scripture. He knows what the word of God is saying. And there will be no progress at all in any Christian's life at all unless there is familiarity with God as the living God. When there is a matter of communion or dependency upon God, because prayer is really that. It's not just a mere utter word that people were utter and then walk away. It is dependent on God to take hold of the situation and then familiar with the word of God to be applied in the right time. Also, it might be very hard for everybody to say, what could he do? What did he say? Why did he do that? He must be a harsh, hard legal person. Not at all. He was bringing the mind of God in judgment upon the people of God because of their departure.
Could we follow that by asking, the setting of the time was a time where Ahab has set up an altar, I believe, to Baal. My question is, could we just discuss for a minute what really was involved with the worship of Baal? Because that was the background with which Elijah was dealing. So could we just talk about that for a second? What was it really involved? What did it mean to worship Baal in that time?
Well, I would just suggest that it was really Satan worship. The golden calves were... There was some pretense, I think, to be worshiping Jehovah. Like when Aaron set up the golden calf, he said, these are the gods that brought you out of Egypt. And he said, tomorrow is a feast to Jehovah. So I think there was some pretension or whatever that these golden calves were somehow connected with the worship of Jehovah. But then with Baal, it's complete open Satan worship with all the immorality and everything else that goes with it.
How does that relate to us today? How does that relate to us today?
I was just thinking first, Brother Sam, that it takes us back to the commandments on Mount Sinai. Exodus 20 opens up, and the first commandment is, thou shalt have no other gods before me. That God is issuing a challenge that any graven image, anything that is formed, displaces him, displaces his rights, displaces his authority, and he will not tolerate anything of an idolatrous nature that stands in him, in place of him. And so it is very clear that Elijah, in his exercise, would be certain to bring in the mind of God that there was what was in Israel under Ahab with Jezebel that was insulting to the name of God. the gods of Baal will have to come down, just like Dagon came down in the presence of God. The gods of Baal will have to come down. Now you ask, how is that related to us today? Certainly for us, there are many idols that pop up in our lives. And we don't often think of them, but they're serious. Even education can be an idol. Am I saying don't be educated? Is God saying don't be educated? Absolutely not. But if it takes the place of God, if it takes precedence, money, my job, anything that takes precedence, even my family can take precedence over God, then that's idolatrous. And the challenge is that there is to be nothing taking first place but the Lord.
I think too, Brother, that what you point out is very good. Each of these gods and these nations around had their certain features and required certain things. But when it comes to Baal, it seems it requires lordship. It requires you to be subject in every way. And I think that's the wickedness of this, is that it requires your whole being. And only one deserves our whole being. It's our Creator. He alone deserves us completely. And so the worship of Baal took people completely away from their Creator to serve in immorality and all the rest that goes with idolatry. It brings in total lordship to this evil, to this evil doctrine, to the devil.
So it violates the holiness of God.
Yes.
Brother Emil brought forth the idea of Elijah being familiar with the living God. I would like also to interject the idea that Elijah was familiar with the holiness of God. God is a holy God that cannot be in fellowship with anything that has to do with other gods. So we see Elijah here as separated. And unless there is a mind of separation from evil, there is no true fellowship with God. And I think this is what we really see in the next portions. And I would suggest to move on, because it's very prominent to see Elijah giving an instruction after he closes heaven via prayer, as we learn from James 5. There is an order, a clear order from the Lord to go and hide. And I would like to ask this question. Is it proper to hide in a day where we need to speak against evil as a preparation for the battle? That's a question.
There is a time to hide ourselves, and there is a time to show ourselves. This was the time. God pointed this out clearly to Elijah. You go hide yourself. This is the time that you're going to be alone with me and further get an assessment of the conditions around, but also an assessment of the resources that are available in me to meet the conditions. So this was a time of hiding. And yes, I believe we need that time where we are removed from the vision of men, so that we might be purely and totally in the presence of the Lord, so as to get the full mind. Because there is going to be a lot more that Elijah has to be exercised about. And where is he going to get this exercise and be able to bring it forward, but being in the presence of God alone?